I'm excited to be back in the pulpit. I always enjoy a little break, but I'm glad to be back. And we're going to talk about going back for the future. Back for the future. How many have seen the movie Back to the Future? Good movie. And this kind of inspires. In fact, I've had several things that kind of inspired this series that I'm doing. And this is one of them, Back to the Future. You know, it's the story of the McFly family. How that accidentally Marty McFly goes back to the future, and he kind of interferes in his parents getting together. So he has to fix that. And so that whole movie is about him trying to fix that so that he will exist. Because if his parents don't get together, guess what? He don't exist. And then there was a book that I read several years ago. In fact, it's one of the top two or three books I've ever read. It's called The Traveler's Gift. Has anybody ever read The Traveler's Gift? We did that in a life group one time. And it's a story about, it's a novel. It's by Andy Andrews. If you've not read that, you ought to read it. It's a great, great read. And it's the story about a struggling man named David Ponder. His daughter is sick. He's having problems on his job. He gets fired. He's on his way home, and he's in a car wreck. And while he is out, he travels back in time to seven historical characters who teach him a life lesson. He goes back and he talks to Abraham Lincoln and King Solomon and Anne Frank and Harry Truman and Colonel Joshua Chamberlain from the Civil War, Christopher Columbus, and finally the angel Gabriel. And they all give him a principle for life that he can use in his life to overcome his difficult situation. Great, great book if you've not read it. Then I read a book called 11-22-63. And this is the story about, again, time travel. There's something about time travel that's always intriguing. But they find this place that they go through, and they go back to 1958. And the goal is to prevent the assassination of President Kennedy. And it's a whole story it's like 880 pages of the story. There's five or six stories involved in this whole thing. And they're trying to alter history by going back to the past. It's an interesting read. And then I read the book a few years ago called Running with the Giants by John Maxwell. And it's a book about taking a lap around a stadium with Bible characters. So all of these kind of together has kind of crashed into my brain, and I'm thinking, what can we learn from characters in the Bible? I read a book yesterday. I've read it before, and it's a pretty easy read. It's a good book by Andy Andrews called The Butterfly Effect. Has anybody ever read The Butterfly Effect? The concept of The Butterfly Effect is it's kind of derived from a story about the details of a tornado influenced by minor perturbances such as the flapping of the wings of a distant butterfly weeks before. So this butterfly doing this thing, and weeks later there's a tornado because of the effects of the butterfly wings flapping. And in this, he has this quote, and I want to read this to you. And this is going to be the essence of the series that we're going to be doing for the next few weeks. He says, there are generations yet unborn whose cry lives will be shifted and shaped by the moves you make today and tomorrow and the next day and the next. Every single thing you do matters. You've been created in order that you might make a difference. You have within you the power to change the world. So choices are important. Things that we do in life are important. They affect not only our lives, but they affect people around us. And God has stamped us individually. We're unique. There's none like you. There's nobody else in the world like you. We all have an assignment from God. Difference in scope, difference in purpose. But we all have something that we're supposed to do in life. And it's something that, it's not just a one event thing that we do in life. It is an everyday thing that we do day after day after day after day that gets mundane sometimes. But the fact that we continue to do this thing, this small thing that we may be doing, that will have an astronomical effect on people that we can influence. So it's important. Your life is important. You have been given a great stewardship by God to manage this life. Now we know about messing it up, don't we? Anybody know about messing it up? I mean, we've all messed up. But thank God, our purpose doesn't have to be abandoned because of our mess-ups. God is able to redeem our mess-ups, and He has given us a way that we can do that through His Word, through choices that we make. Thank God. Unless we lose the power to choose, we can be masters of our destiny, and we can affect certain people. So let's say that we're going to travel back in time, and we're going to come to the end of the way for many of these Bible characters, and we're going to let them teach us a life's lesson. A life's lesson. Today we're going to talk about Noah. Noah. We're going to go way back in Genesis chapter 6 and 7 and back through there and talk about Noah and the flood. See, have you ever felt like that your life is insignificant? We look at the way of the world. We look at the way that the world is going, and we think, can I make a difference? I just doesn't seem like I can do anything that will make a difference. I think about the story of the young boy that's by the seaside, and the sand is littered with starfish. And this young boy is picking up those starfish and throwing them back out in the water. This gentleman comes up to where he's throwing these fish in the water, and he laughs at him and makes fun of him. He says, "Son, don't you know that you can't make a difference?" And he picks up this starfish and throws it into the ocean. He says, "I made a difference in that one's life." See, we can't change the whole world, but we have a part to play in what God wants to do in the world that we live in. So we're going to go back and we're going to look at Noah. I'm going to read out of Hebrews 12, first of all. This is kind of be our foundation. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," I don't know for sure, but this just kind of indicates that in life that we have a cheering section in heaven. That there are people up there that who gets to see some of what goes on down there. I hope that some of our loved ones get to look down and help cheer us on. I hope that many of the Bible characters up there get to kind of look down and cheer us on. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that what that verse indicates. Or if it's just that their influence is a witness for us, that we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, these people who have walked the faith and lived the life and been successful and even struggled and messed up and God redeemed their mess ups. That if that is the witness that we're surrounded by and we can look on that and we can draw on that and we can be better people because of that. I don't know about you, but I want to be a better person than I am today. I want to be better tomorrow than I am today. I want to accomplish more tomorrow than I accomplished yesterday or today. I want my life to matter in this world. And I'm not looking for the great event. I'm looking for the day by day. The day by day, the day by day opportunities that come to us where we're just living our lives as an example. And there'll be times that we get to speak into people's lives. There will be times that people just look at our lives and they're either turned off to the gospel or they're inspired to know God. Have you ever been around people who you just see them and you just want to do better? You want to be better. You want to make better decisions. There are people who inspire us that way. I think that we as believers should strive to be those kinds of people. So this says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We're in a race. And sometimes that race is not very easy. You know, we've set goals. Back in January, in fact, let's stop and talk about this a minute. Back in January, I challenged you to set goals. Guess what? Yesterday, we start the second half of this year. How you doing with your goals? How you doing with your goals? I'm not saying that, I've abandoned my goal. Well, I'm trying to stir you up. It's not too late. You can go back and you can re-examine. One of the things we talked about, setting goals. We talked about measuring goals. We talked about looking at our goals and seeing, okay, how am I doing? Doing an inventory on how I'm doing with my goals. The only way that you're ever going to accomplish anything is by setting goals. I heard a guy say one time, said, I'd rather set my goal too high and get half of it than not set any goals at all and get all of it. Goal setting is a great thing. Setting goals, measuring progress, doing inventory. How am I doing? How am I doing with my eating? How am I doing with my exercise? How am I doing with my weight loss? How am I doing with my reading? How am I doing with my Bible reading? How am I doing? But you know what? The year's only half over. If you've messed up, if you've dropped something, you can pick it back up and go on and establish a pattern in your life. See, every decision that we make in life matters. It matters. What is Noah's message to us? And here it is simply. Here's what we're going to learn today, is that one person can make a difference. That's Noah's message to us, that one person can make a difference. We live in a world that is going in a crazy way. You notice that? Just turn on the news. I mean, you turn on TV. I mean, look what happened in Little Rock. It's crazy. Things are going crazy. And then you just think, what can one person do? But Noah is a testimony that one person can make a difference. Can I just tell you something? You're alive today because of Noah. You had a chance today because of Noah. I'm going to read in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will... Ooh, I got way back on that one. Oh, here we go. 6:5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He looked at the earth, and he saw the wicked way that men were going and how they were dwelling and meditating on evil, and everything that they were doing was evil. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. I'm so glad that it didn't stop there. Because if it had stopped there, we wouldn't be here today. The next verse says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a man who walked in his integrity. He is a man who walked with God. He's a man who knew God. He lived in a wicked and perverse generation, but he stayed true to his principles. He stayed true. He walked with God. And you know what? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. His life, the life of one man, made a difference in the whole world. See, one person can make a difference. You can. You can make a difference. I can make a difference. Say that with me. I can make a difference. Say that again. I can make a difference. Let's all say it together. I can make a difference. Yes, I can make a difference. So let's talk a little bit about where we can make a difference. And this is important. And I think as parents, as grandparents, as members of the body of Christ, I think that this may be the most important one. Number one, you can make a difference for your family. You can make a difference for your family. Your influence may not be great out there, but let me tell you, we have a responsibility, we have a challenge that we can make a difference for our family. Choices that we make now for our family will make a difference down the road. I'm glad that I found the Lord. I'm glad that I got saved, because it opened the door for me to find the right woman to marry, who was also saved, also committed to the Lord, and we were able to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And all of our children today are serving God. And our grandchildren are coming to faith in Christ. In fact, Ella got baptized at church camp this year. That's a yay God. I'm believing God for our family to be saved and to know God. But one person, I didn't do all that. But guess what? If I had never made the decision to accept Christ, would it have affected my family? Absolutely. The decisions that we make can make a difference for our family. See, living a life of integrity and obedience to God always has the potential to positively impact others. But it don't matter how I live. Yes, it does. I don't have to be consistent. Yes, you do. It's important, the decisions that we make for our family. It's important, guys, that we model for our children and our grandchildren. It's important that we be examples, that we continue to live our lives in a way that's going to affect our children and our children's children. I owe a debt, and I've talked about this before. I want to live to be old. And I got a goal. This is one of my goals in life. This is one of the reasons I get out and walk 3 miles a day. This is one of the reasons I exercise. This is one of the reasons that I'm losing weight and trying to be healthy. I had a great I don't remember any of my grandfathers. My dad's dad died when he was 16. My mother's dad died when I was 5. I did not know what a grandfather was. But I had a great-grandfather. I've talked about him a lot. Frank Insell. At Ash Flat, we're not Insell, we're Insell. Here, we're Insell. But Grandpa Insell. Loved God. Loved Jesus. Glowed with Jesus. I didn't see him that many times in my life. But he indelibly imprinted an impression on my heart that I was never able to get away from. And when I would think about God, I would think about Him. I want to live to pay that back to my great-grandchildren. I want to be able to model that for my great-grandchildren, that I know God and I walk with God and this Christian life works and faith works and, following God is the only way to live our lives. It's important. See, you can make a difference for your family. And what you do and what you choose matters so much. And that's why we need to pick disciplines in our lives that will produce the right kinds of fruit. Genesis 7:1, it says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." See, not only was Noah saved, but his family was saved. Why was his family saved? Because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. See, grace can be something that is contagious. Grace can be something that happens in your family. Even though they're not where they need to be, there can even a grace come in their lives that can help make a difference where they're concerned. Are you out there today? Are you tracking with me? Are you with me? We can make a difference for our family. Here's the second one. You can make a difference in the world that you live in. You work with people who don't know God. You come in contact with people all the time, and you don't know where they're at. You don't know what their state of mind is. You don't know what's going on in their lives. And we can make a difference. And here's an easy thing that we can all do. It's easy, and it costs you nothing. It's called smile and speak. I'm trying to get some of my grandkids right now that, to look people in the eye and smile and speak to people and talk to people. Why? Because, how many times do we just walk by people and we don't even notice? We're not even aware of anything. And because we're so preoccupied, God couldn't use us if He wanted to. He'd have to drop a burning bush right beside us for us to see. But I have seen people who have been sensitive to God. Everywhere they're at, they're all about God. They're all about their walk with God. And they're all about making a difference in the world that they live in. Who knows what the waitress who waits on you in the restaurant is going through? I've sat down and began to talk to a waitress, just being friendly, and then just open up and start sharing their hearts and their lives and their troubles and the things that they're going through. And they needed somebody to talk to. We can make a difference in the world that we live in. You're probably not going to be like Noah and impact the whole world. But listen, you can impact the world that you walk in. You can impact the world that you walk in. Are you a blessing on your job, or are you a pain in the rear? Let's just get down with it today. Are you a blessing to your employer? Or if you're an employee, are you a blessing to your fellow workers? Or are you running this? Are you a pain, or are you a blessing? Or are you of no consequence? That's being a pain and no consequence is not an option for us. We're to influence. You can make a difference in the world that you live in. You can improve it. Well, you don't know the environment I work in. Well, don't adapt to it. Make a difference. Make a difference. You can make a difference. It may be small, but you can make a difference. You can be a difference maker. Here's the next one. You can make a difference for future generations. This is important. You can make a difference in future generations. Not only your children and your children's children and your children's children. You know, the Bible says that the sins of the fathers are visited to the third and fourth generation, but the blessing is visited to 1,000 generations. We can be a blessing to our generations. We can be a blessing, not only your family. See, listen, I didn't work in church camp, but I showed up a couple times. You know why I showed up? So I could talk to the kids. You know why? One of the reasons I mingle, I don't hide in the office and pray. I figure if I don't have this together by the time you get here, ain't no need me praying. I need to be out there talking to kids and talking to you and interacting with you. Why? It'd be easier to sit in my office. When I get done on Sunday mornings, I'm toast. If you preach two times and you visit with people and you talk to people and you intermingle, you're tired. But I do it. Why? Because I want to be an influence. I want your children to know that I'm their pastor. Miranda's their pastor. Joe's their pastor. But listen, I'm their pastor. They're important to me. We invest a lot of money in our children and in our youth ministry. We do. We invest a lot of money in those. Why? Because children are important. And listen, to influence the generations ahead. We have a wonderful team of people here at Believers, of volunteers. You know, we only have two people in this whole church that are full-time. We have some part-time paid staff, but we have a whole bunch of volunteers, right? We have wonderful people here who volunteer, who keep those kids in the nursery, who love on those babies. You know what they're doing? They're making a difference for the future generations. Who teach your children, who discipline your children in children's church, who oh my gosh, teenagers. You know, and they work with these teenagers back here. Why? Because they matter. We want to be an influence for the future generations. There's a story of an 80-year-old man. He's planting apple trees. This young man comes up and kind of scoffs at him. He said, "Don't you know that you'll never eat of the fruit of those trees that you plant?" He said, "Sir, son, I know that, but future generations will." See, I don't want to do something that is just good for me here and now. I want to lay a foundation for future generations. When I step out of this pulpit for the last time, I don't want this church to die. Because this church is not about me. This church is about Jesus Christ. And if I build it on me, then I built on a faulty foundation. I want to teach you the Word of God. I want to teach you principles of life that you can live day by day by day by day. We have been committed to that. I mean, you know, this August, what is it going to be, 36 years that we've been here planting the Word of God into people, teaching people how to live by faith, teaching people to know the Lord and have a relationship with God. See, it's important. And it's not just important for this generation. It's important for the generations to come. We can make a difference. I love my volunteers. Why? Because they're making a difference for future generations. See, your actions can help those who come behind you. There are people who sowed seeds that I stand on their shoulders. And I'm hoping someday people can stand on our shoulders and we'll make it easier for them than we had it in our time. Here's the last one. You can make a difference for God. Why are we here? You know, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show Him strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars." God is looking for someone to stand in the gap for Him. See, He desires to partner with those who love Him. It says in Corinthians that we are laborers together with God. Could God do it by Himself? He has all power. He has all knowledge. He doesn't need us. But guess what? He chose us. You know why He chose us to partner with us? Because through that partnership, He's going to bring great blessing and great increase into our lives, spiritually and every otherwise. God wants to use you to make a difference for Him in this world. Did Noah make a big difference? You bet he did. He made a huge difference. Him finding grace. See, his walk with God led him into a place that where God bestowed grace upon him. He was not destroyed. Even though he messed up afterwards, he was not destroyed. And he opened the door for mankind to survive. Listen, we can open the door for future generations for mankind to know God, to walk with God, and to be with Him. Amen? Let's stand together. I tell you what, let's do. Let's catch hands. Can we just do that? We're not going to sing. I don't think we're singing a closing song. We're going to pray. I'm believing God to speak to our hearts through this series. I'm believing that He's going to speak to us about the things that these men could say to us and give us life's lessons that can make a difference in us. See, you may need to make a course correction. We all do. In fact, your whole life, you're going to be making course corrections. Because, our GPS sometimes is goofed up. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life to keep us on course. Because our natural inclination is to veer this way and this way. We have this thing called selfishness. It's very easy to get caught up in. Where everything's about me, mine. Well, God wants us to live better lives than that. So let me pray for you as we're dismissed today. Father, we just open our hearts to you today, Lord. And we would ask that you would speak to us. Lord, we know that you love us. And Lord, we love you. But sometimes, God, we just get so caught up in life that we forget what we're about. Help us learn through this series. Lord, say things in their hearts that I didn't say today. Holy Spirit, you're the great teacher. You're the guide. And we ask that you would guide us and direct us in the path that we should go, in the things that we should know. And Lord God, we want to please you. We want to walk with you. We want to be difference makers. We want our lives to matter. Other than just for making a living and living till we die. We want to make a difference. We want to be fulfillers of the dreams that you have put in our heart. Thank you for your love today. And thank you for being patient with us. Because we don't always listen like we should. But thank you that you're committed to us today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said a big amen. Amen. All right. God bless you for being here today. You're dismissed.